Force Ethos.
What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the show. We got the whole team today. This is the Sports Ethos Grizzlies podcast. We got a little bit of news. Maybe it's news. Maybe it's not news. Who knows? The NBA draft lottery is done. The Memphis Grizzlies did not pull a 1 in 250 chance out of the hat and end up with that Lakers pick. That's a little bit disappointing, but they're sitting on two first-round picks, one at 22, one at 29. We're not really going to get into prospects today, but we will get into that next week. You know that Isaac and I are excited about it. We're going to lead off the show talking about, is it news or is it not news? The Memphis Grizzlies hold the end of the season press conference, and the only rotation player that did not speak at the end of the season press conference was Dylan Brooks. And there seems to be kind of some split hairs on this. Some people say it's nothing. Some people say he didn't know, so he just left. But it's awfully weird that he was the only rotation player that we didn't hear from in the end of the season press conference. Isaac, I'll let you go first, man. What do you think? Is this news or not news?
Man, I could be completely off base here. Like, I mean, I could be completely off base, and maybe it is just a wild coincidence. But I find it hard to believe that there's nothing, just nothing to this. Like, I don't think it necessarily means for sure he's gone or anything like that. But it's suspicious. I mean, it would have been different if there was other guys, rotation guys that didn't know and they ended up leaving as well. But he was the only one. Every main rotation player participated in this. It's not like this is something new. They do this every year. So I think it's weird to me, like, even that the other guys said they didn't know they were doing it, because they got to do this every year. But they have an entire PR team that kind of handles these things. And it's just suspicious that Dylan happens to be the only one to not make it there. They did their private and one-on-one stuff, and they said that Dylan's PR person didn't grab him and he didn't know, and he ended up going home, which, again, man, that's suspicious to me, man. You have your meeting with the GM, and especially with kind of the thoughts about possibly his status going into the summer, it's just suspicious that he happened to be the one that didn't make it to this thing. And I think your mind, anybody connecting the dots with this would kind of connect them the same way, that there's probably maybe something happened in that meeting, something was said that just didn't sit right with him, and he decided to jet. I mean, that all the guys, the main rotation guys, also did a video where they were thanking the fans and reflecting on the season. He wasn't a part of that as well. And you know what I mean? The PR team has the cell phone number. All the players have a cell phone number. All you had to do is hit him up. It was like this thing lasted for a couple hours. It's not like he had to rush back or anything. I just can't believe that even if he left, this thing is important. I mean, this is a end of the season presser where they reflect on the season and they get all these guys together to talk to the media. And I would think that even if he left, they would call him back. And he was not a part of it, man. It's suspicious to me. Again, I could be completely off base, but I think there is at least a little bit something to it.
Yeah. Is it news or is it not news? I'm going to go with this news regardless. I mean, it's noteworthy. It's notable. And he's the only player, like Isaac said, that wasn't there. And so that's worth mentioning. You can't say that it's nothing if he's the only one, especially given his circumstances. Now, is it foreshadowing? I'm not sure if it's foreshadowing that means he's going to be off the team, but it's definitely news. And it is one heck of a coincidence if it's not. Like, if he really just did forget, and nobody wanted to call him back, if they didn't feel like it was important enough for him to come back after he'd already left the stadium, that's interesting for sure. Like I said, one heck of a coincidence it'd be. But I think for those who, on the side of those who feel like it's not anything, that's fine. You could believe that. But some of those people are frustrated with the fact that it's even a question or even like being paid attention to. And I just don't know how you could, you know, like, ignore that. Like, that's pretty big. I mean, you can pretend like it's not big, but those end of the year pressers are, I mean, they're a pretty big deal. I mean, you get a lot of information about the season, the direction that the team is going, hearing about a lot from the player. I mean, it was pretty informative, I think, overall. I'm sure we'll get into it later, but it was pretty informative hearing from the players, hearing from Zach Kleiman, the coaching staff. And so for that to be the only person we didn't hear from, it could be a lot of different things. One of them could be he just left early, but also it's news either way. It just is. Yeah. People want to know.
I was going to say, especially with it being Dylan Brooks. I mean, right. He's the guy that people say is the heart and soul, of the team. He's that important to the point to where I think they would have got him back there. They would have called him back there if it was just he didn't know when he left. It's hard for me to buy it, man. Even on sale, man, I have a hard time buying it.
Yeah, if there had been someone else, if, you know, Tyus is a free agent, Kyle is a free agent, if those guys hadn't sat down and talked, if one of those guys hadn't, I probably wouldn't have given it a second thought about Dylan, honestly. Yeah. You know, yeah. Like maybe it's nothing. I think that the people that are choosing to believe that it's nothing and that, you know, those of us that think that it is something are kind of blown out of proportion, I think they're probably being overly optimistic. And you know, that's fine. After the season that the Grizzlies had, after the growth that we witnessed from them this year, there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. But, you know, you mentioned there being a lot of information in this end of the season presser. So I want to kind of roll into that. Zach Kleiman made the comment that moving forward, the Grizzlies are going to put themselves in the best position to win it all. And so Dylan Brooks goes, he has his meeting with Kleiman, and then he leaves and everybody else sticks around. What is that? It's speculation, right? We don't have, like, we haven't talked to Dylan. There's not been anything else said from the team or anything like that. Everything that we're seeing, oh, well, he just didn't know. He didn't know. And to my knowledge, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but that was all media guys saying, oh, he didn't know. I don't think we saw that from anybody with the team or the PR department. That was media members that were there saying that he didn't know and that's why he left. Is that right?
Well, they're saying
that's correct. Yeah.
They're saying players, like the players themselves, they said they didn't know. So, like, Jaren said he didn't know.
Yeah.
I think De'Anthony Melton
said he didn't know. Yeah.
So they're pointing at the fact that those people didn't know, and saying also that Dylan might not have known, and because of that he left. But yeah, it is media people saying that. So it's a little sort of both.
I think This is what's going to happen. Now, like, they're packaging Dylan Brooks and Steven Adams. Rudy Gobert is the starting five for the Grizzlies next year. You heard it here first. Moving on.
Wait, and I'll tell you one final thought on this that just does make it a little suspect to me. Even I would acknowledge it's possible that he just genuinely didn't know. But as close as this team is, and as close as everybody talks about this team being, everybody's talking about how close this team was. They were talking about all in the presses how close they are. He just left. He left so fast that he didn't get to say goodbye to anybody. Like, he didn't want to say goodbye to Jai. He didn't want to say goodbye to, I mean, he just didn't care to say goodbye to anybody. In fact, I think all the other players didn't know, but they probably hung around a few minutes just because they wanted to say goodbye to each other. Probably that's when the PR person gathered them up. That's the only part that I have not heard addressed by the people on the side of he didn't know. I would just think that as close as they were, it's not like they had any, like, maybe he had somewhere special to be. I don't know Dylan Brooks' personal life, but I mean, it just kind of seemed like, I don't know where the season was over. I don't know if there was just anything pressing at that point to at least not hang around and not say goodbye to the team. I don't know.
If there was something going on with him, I think they would have gladly said that, like, he had somewhere to be or some kind of emergency. I think they would have gladly brought that up. The fact that nobody said that, I think that, to me, kind of says that probably wasn't the case. But again, could be a crazy coincidence and it could mean nothing, but that's tough for me to believe, man. I have a hard time buying that, seriously.
So let's shift more into the Kleiman statement about that, you know, the Grizzlies are going to put themselves in the best position to win. We talked about the picks a little bit early on. The Grizzlies are sitting here. They got 22, 29, and 47.
Seven.
22, 29, and 47. The comments made, they're going to put themselves in the best position to win it all. Candace, I'm going to let you lead off on this one. Do you feel like the Grizzlies execute three picks in this draft?
No, I don't think they do. No, not three picks. I mean, at most two. I think they're going to make some kind of trade up, or they're going to package one of those with a player maybe and trade them. But we know Zach Kleiman is active around this time, whether it's draft season or the offseason. That this is his time sort of to make deals. And maybe it's not as heavy as it has been in the past, but either way, three picks is a lot, especially since they're officially transferring there. I mean, up to this point, the front office has been very firm on this is still data accumulation. This is still the rebuilding process. We're still trying to figure out our pieces. And so with them being vocal about that, if you're going to go all in, you might take a piece or two that's still young and kind of plug and play them if they're a plug and play type of player. But to have three rookies on your roster, to me, just wouldn't add up to what that to that statement. If they were going to do something like that, I think they may say something between, you know, while we're going to take advantage of every opportunity, we also still realize that this team is young. I mean, they could say something along those lines if they were really going to use all three of those draft picks.
Isaac, what's your thoughts on it, man?
Yeah, I think that was my biggest takeaway. A lot of information, like you said, came out of this end of the season presser. Was that climbing his comments? I think there's been a little bit of a shift in philosophy. I think for the first time, Zach Kleiman is kind of taking the reins off. Everything before this has always been data accumulation. This is, remember, this is still a rebuild. A road to a rebuild is not always linear. That we're kind of, everything that we do, we're looking long term. We're not going to do anything that for right now that affects the future. And I still think that's a little bit of the case. He kind of went on to say that they basically, they're not going to do anything stupid. Like, they're not going to just jump in and do something super crazy that's going to be terrible long term. But he kind of laid it out there that they're ready to win. I think they looked at how this team overachieved this season. Now they've overachieved to the point to where this team is a true title contender. So, I mean, you got to take the reins off at some point. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing from his statement. I think they're ready to take the reins off. And I think he said that they're going to be smart. He's also made a statement that said basically money is not going to stop them from doing anything they want to do. Robert Parrott, third richest owner in the league. So I think you can kind of debunk the small market thing. Like, I think Robert Parrott is willing to spend money on his team. I don't think there's any question about that. I think you saw that with the Jaren extension. I think you're going to see Ja get the Supermax. And I think if it makes sense fiscally for Tyus or even Kyle Anderson to come back, I don't think Robert Parrott will hold back from paying him. And you talk about those draft picks, 22, 29, and 47. I would be surprised if they execute, I think, two at the most, and I would probably predict one. I'd probably predict the second-round pick because, I think they package those two first-round picks with possibly a player. We've talked about that in the past. We talked about Dylan Brooks here earlier. I think DeAnthony Melton is another guy that you could see possibly on the move. And some peripheral pieces like maybe Xavier Tillman, Killian Tilly are guys that could be added into a trade to kind of help with the salaries. But I think they do something. I don't know if it's to move up in the draft or to bring in a veteran player. Maybe that's or both. I mean, it could be a deal that you get draft compensation, future draft compensation, and a player. Who knows, man? You never know how these things materialize. But I think they're going to be extremely active. I mean, that's Zach Kleiman's track record. And the thing that they do, they're strategic. I don't think they fly by the seat of their pants. Like, I think the old regime, you look at it, they were kind of knee-jerk with some of the things they did. I don't think that's the case at all. I think they think everything through. I think they're pretty much on the same page and uniform with everything that they do. And from what he's talking about, I've been saying this for a while, even going back to the presser that he had an all-star break in preseason, they've always seemed to feel like there was going to be some type of move. Now, I think missing out on that Lakers pick could have changed things a little bit, but I still think it's not going to stop them from being aggressive. And I think they do something. I don't see them bringing three rookies into this team. I mean, I think where they are now in their maturation process, they already have guys that you're trying to develop, and guys like Zaire Williams and some of the other younger guys on the team. I just don't think they have a lot of time or room to be developing other guys. I mean, it's always good to have good young pieces on your team to develop, but I think that they're ready to take another step. And I think that step kind of pushed them beyond having two or three rookies on the team that they're trying to develop.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Candace.
I was just going to touch on that point about that Isaac mentioned. That was one of the biggest takeaways that Zach Kleiman, about his comment on the smart small market notions won't apply. to the Memphis Grizzlies, I think that's huge for the trajectory of the team, because it really determines in a lot of ways the window. So if that wasn't the case, then it really give the Grizzlies a small window before they have to start paying. Basically, the window would pretty much end after you had to start paying Bane, because after that, you have to make a decision about who you're going to get rid of. But the fact that Robert Parra is willing to open up the pocketbook and keep this core, I think really makes for a much more sustainable future, and basically avoids the OKC type situation that we saw them deal with, because it was never the same for them after they had to break up their core. So I think that was my biggest takeaway, because we talk a lot about this team and the continuity and how special this unit is. But to me, none of that means nothing if you've only got two years to make it work.
Yeah, I think you have to navigate this very carefully, because you mentioned OKC and how they have looked. They've been in tank mode basically since they busted that core up. Mm-hmm. The Atlanta Hawks, they had a lot of good young talent.
Yeah.
They didn't handle it properly, and they basically, Cam Reddish was a guy with a ton of upside. He still is a guy with a ton of upside, and they gave him away for pennies on the dollar. And that's something I don't want to see this front office do. I don't want to see them the market for Dylan Brooks is not bad. Like, you don't have to sell low on him, because even though he struggled, everybody knows what he brings to the floor defensively. You can still, if you're moving him, if you decide, okay, Dylan Brooks is not a piece that is going to be a part of my core moving forward, you can send him out with the expectations of receiving a player that is that caliber, or somebody that's close to that caliber that you can maybe develop to be another starting player, like a starting role type position player. So what does the win now move look like to you guys? Isaac, you're muted. I don't know if you realize that or not, but I just want to let you know. So when I throw this to you, you're ready to go. We watched the Grizzlies beat the Timberwolves in 6 games. It was a tough series. They were able to get it done. They were the better team. They should have beat that team. They did. They go into the matchup against the Warriors. That was a better matchup for the Grizzlies. Injuries happen. A lot of crazy stuff happens in that series. But we were able to really see some weaknesses in this team, some areas where they need improvement. If you had to say, this is the one area that I think they need to go and improve in, what would that be?
Man, when you look at this team, it's tough, because when you start talking about positions, they basically have positions filled. I mean, it's not like there's like this big gaping hole on this roster. And I think a lot of what they're going to do is going to depend on internal development. With John taking another step, Jared being more consistent, Desmond Bane continue to grow, Zaire Williams obviously taking another step. But I guess if you're going to pick one area, I think it's still shooting. I think you have Desmond Bane, and we know his ability to shoot the basketball. But Jaren Jackson has been hit or miss. I mean, he's capable of knocking down threes, but it's not something that you can depend on. They had to develop it kind of the same way. So I think it's still shooting. I think if you're going to pick out one area that this team needs, I think it's shooting, and I guess another area would be more perimeter defense. I think those are kind of the two areas that if you could find a guy that can kind of do both of those things, I think that's kind of what the position that I would target. But possibly a bigger wing that can knock down threes and also can play defense. I think that's kind of the area that I would go. But when you look at this team again, there's not a lot of room. So the question that you got to ask yourself is, who's going out? Is Tyus and Kyle coming back? Are those two guys that you're going to have on the roster? And who are you going to send out in the trade? Because the team is really full right now. They just have to decide, because nobody's touching Ja, Jaren, and Desmond Bane. Those guys are going to be here. But outside of that, I think they still have some decisions to make on who's going to be here long-term. Are they going to pay Tyus? I think a lot of people, including myself, are kind of on the train that they need to bring him back. I know usually in most situations, I would disagree. When you have a superstar point guard like Ja, you're not going to invest that kind of money into a backup point guard. But on this team, it's just different. It's a different dynamic, and Tyus just means so much for this team. He's essentially a sixth starter. That's kind of how I look at him. It's weird to say. I know he comes off the bench when John's healthy, but he's just feels like a sixth starter, like an extension of that starting lineup. And he's important for this team. But again, I think you just have to know who's going to be on the roster and how they're going to handle this. But those are kind of the two areas, I think, more shooting and perimeter defense, I think, are the two areas that they could kind of expound on.
Yeah, I think that we got to see Tyus and Ja play together a little more this year, and that worked. In the past, that hasn't always worked. But the offseason work that Tyus put in on his jumper paid off this year. He shot it at career highs. He was shooting the ball extremely well. So heading into this season, if you would have asked me, do I think that the Grizzlies should re-sign Tyus, I would have been indifferent about it. I mean, you know, because you can't really play him with Ja. Don't think that's going to work very well. So if they sign him, it's great. They got a good backup. If they don't sign him, you know, they can go out and get somebody, whether it be a veteran or you draft a guy and you train him up to do the things that you want him to do. But him adding that, you know, he shot the ball very well from three, not in game six against the Warriors, but throughout the season, he done pretty well. So that is, I'm definitely on team sign Tyus. I don't know what they're going to end up doing with Kyle Anderson, but do you feel like there could be enough leap from the guys that they have in this rotation, the guys that were big minute guys in the playoffs? Is that enough to get them over the hump, or do they have to go out and get that piece?
Well, let me answer the first question first.
Yeah, sure.
Because the reason they need to sign Tyus, I think is a reason is exactly, it points to the need that we haven't yet talked about. And I think I'm going to go with shot creation, just because you just need some secondary playmakers on this team. Ja Morant is the main starter on the team that can create his own shot. Dylan Brooks is the second, and we know through the polarizing, the good and the bad that comes with that. It's really needed, because he's the only other person that can really do that for himself. And I think that's why you end up living or dying by Dylan, is because there's not another person who can really, you know, create their own shot. And in terms of them, you know, really getting further in the playoffs, the half court offense has got to be better. And part of that is coaching and scheming that up, and not just it being more than just jog, get a bucket. But it's also people who can play make. That's why you need Tyus. That's why Tyus and Ja worked so well together. One, because I agree, David, he worked on his jumper, but that was part of him being able to create his own shot, right? I think you need somebody who can do that off the bench. It'd be great if you had somebody in addition to Tyus off the bench that could also do that. De'Anthony Melton, it was supposed to be that, but he's much more efficient as a catch and shoot guy to this point, and he can get a lot of turnovers when he gets to dribbling at this point. And I don't know, I mean, I know he's still pretty young, but I don't know if that's going to change or not. And then I think you need somebody else in the starting lineup. Now, Zaire, I think he will get that ability. We'll see how evolved it is in year two. I think it can make a big jump. We'll see. I think it will be great and excellent in year three, for sure. I think we'll see. I definitely expect to see a big dividends pay off from there. But I know another thing they talked about was trying to get Jaren to create his own shot in post-up moves, or not create his, will create a shot for himself, but also playmake in the post. And that will be a big deal too. So I think that's another point of emphasis. Shooting, yes, because I mean, we'll get a shot creation if nobody can get the shot down. But I think that's another thing too, that really, in terms of something that this team is really missing, a real weakness on this team, it's somebody else being able to help execute the half-court offense.
So let's say July 5th starts the Salt Lake City Summer League, and it's already been pretty much guaranteed that we're going to see Zaire on the ball in the Summer League, you know, Salt Lake City, and then whenever they go out to Vegas. Let's say that we see a leap from Zaire, and he's able to get downhill, create the space, create his own shot, and create for others. Does your view change about what they're targeting? If we see a Desmond Bane type leap, you know, Desmond Bane from year one to year two, we saw this massive leap. Desmond Bane was already a lethal shooter. We knew that, but they play him on the ball in the summer league and he is just destroying them. and that confidence carries over. We see that during the regular season. If we see a jump like that from Zaire going into year two, does that change your thinking? Do you feel like that they're in a better spot with that? Do they have enough if Zaire makes that leap to say, okay, their shooting's good, they need something else?
I think you still need, in my opinion, I think you still need more off the bench. It would be my opinion. I mean, well, I don't know if Zaire in that case would be starting or off the bench, but either way, in my opinion, you need another one in both units. So that I think that will make a difference, especially because we talk about depth. I think this team will continue to emphasize that because it was proven that it was effective in the playoffs. So it's not like that was disproved. So I think you need both, especially knowing in the playoffs that they're going to, you know, blitz Ja, and teams who are not the Warriors will have the personnel to do that. And so I think Zaire will help, and it will make it better. So I'm not saying that won't be the case. But in my opinion, I think for them to reach their full, like their highest level of ceiling, I think it'd be great to have that off the bench as well.
Yeah, I think with Zaire, I think it just depends on how big of a leap it is. But I think you still need, I think, another guy, possibly a veteran guy that's kind of been there, done that, to kind of come in and step in and fill that role. But I'm talking about Zaire, man. I'm excited to see him in his development in summer league. I mean, you talk about Bane, and when I first saw how they were going to handle it, they were going to put Bane on the ball, I was like, man, this is going to be big time for him. It's going to pay off. It's going to do wonders for his confidence, and he's going to take a big leap, man. And you definitely saw that. Even Bane himself from year one to year two did more. I mean, he talked about it during the summer league that he wanted to be able to create more, not to kind of take some pressure off of Ja, that they don't necessarily have to create offense for him. He did a better job this year, definitely from year one of creating shots and getting to the basket. So he's getting better at that, and maybe he continues to develop in that vein as well. But I agree with Candace. I think even if Zaire kind of takes that leap, I still think that they probably need to bring somebody in. I personally think that they need to bring in a veteran guy anyway. I think that could have been something that could have helped them this postseason. I was still kind of surprised. I thought they would do something at the trade deadline. I didn't think it would be anything major, but I still think there's a spot on this team for kind of a playing veteran, as they say, a guy that can be. I mean, Steven Adams is that. I mean, he's been around, but I think they could use another guy to kind of be a voice in that locker room. I don't know if Steven Adams is kind of that guy. He's a veteran guy and good to lean on, and you see him on the sideline talking and coaching with guys, but I still think that's the kind of a void. We talk about a missing piece for this team. I think that's kind of a guy I would like to see brought in as well.
Yep. And it's very attainable. So I don't really see a reason that they would. I know this team is young, but this team is going to be young whether you bring in one additional veteran or not. I don't think our pride point is being the second youngest team in the league. That doesn't get you a championship. So one other veteran, I think, will make a big difference. Who can play make?
Have been a number of people talking about this. I think Joe Mullinax may have been the first one to mention it, but a lot of people are saying Dylan could be that bench guy. Dylan could be that playmaker off the bench, the scoring burst off the bench. And, you know, we talked about some during the playoffs, the moniker of starting player versus closer and all of that. Whoever starts the game, to a certain extent, it doesn't really matter. The closing lineup is really those last, you know, 8 to 7, 8 minutes of the game. Whenever you need high IQ players that are not going to beat you, that's when it's going to make a difference. So let's say that we see that leap from Zaire this year in the summer league, and the Grizzlies say, okay, Zaire is going to move into the starting lineup. None of the starters are traded. You have Ja, Bane, Zaire, Jaren Jackson, and Steven Adams is your starting five. And now Dylan Brooks is going to be Tyus Jones is going to be our 6/7th man. Do you feel like the skill set that Dylan has coming off of the bench would give them that guy, that punch off of the bench that they don't have right now?
And when it comes to Dylan, and a lot of people have said this, and I do honestly think, in a perfect world, that's his ideal role. Coming in as that guy that can score, microwave score guy, bringing that defense off the bench. You would hope to have kind of a different guy in that starting lineup. But my question is, I'm not sure that Dylan would be happy in that role, because I think Dylan sees himself as one of the better players on the team type of guy. I just don't know if he'll accept that. I feel like that if you brought him off the bench, he might not complain or be a necessarily openly be a malcontent, but I think you bring him off the bench, and I think that might.
What's up, guys? It's David. Before we go any further, I've got to take a couple moments here to tell you about our new partner at Ethos Grizzlies, Ember and Valor. Ember and Valor specializes in beard care products. Let them take your beard to the next level with their easy two-step process. You get started with the beard oil to condition your skin and prevent the dreaded beard itch. You finish it off with Ember and Valor's beard balm to condition and shape your beard. Go over to emberandvalor.com right now and use promo code ETHOSGRIZZ for 25% off. Let them get you the beard you've always wanted. emberandvalor.com, emberandvalor.com, promo code ETHOSGRIZZLIES for 25% off. I've got to run it by you one more time. I can't allow you to miss it. 25% off at emberandvalor.com right now using our promo code ETHOSGRIZZ. That's ETHOSGRIZZ at emberandvalor.com for 25% off of all of their products. Ember and Valor makes all of their products using all natural ingredients. Get over there, check them out, use the promo code, let them know we sent you. You will not be disappointed. emberandvalor.com. Look good, feel good.
Make him jack up a lot of bad shots, because I think he's going to want to make up for lost time for not being in that starting lineup. I don't know. I'm not a full believer that he would accept that role. If he would accept that role, I think that would be fantastic. But I have my doubts on if that would be role, because, I mean, you just see kind of how you go back to that game four and kind of how he played in that game. And you think about, is that a guy that's getting up shots like that? Is that a guy that you think would be happy with a role coming out the bench? Because, again, I think Dylan sees himself as this big-time scorer, this microwave scorer. And at times he is that. But at other times he really struggles. And I just got a feeling that you worry about his shot selection. I think if you bring him out the bench, that shot selection might be bad a lot of the times. Because, again, I think he's going to want to get his shots up. And I just don't think he accepts that role. And a lot of people have also talked about basically bringing him into next season and thinking that he's going to take a team-friendly discount. I don't necessarily believe that either, because I think he's already taking a discount. I think he's going to try to get paid. And again, that's one of the reasons why I just feel like long-term, I just don't know if he's going to be here, because I think it's going to take, on the open market, I think it's going to take $18 to $20 million a year to keep him, probably. And you got Zaire Williams on a rookie contract that you're trying to develop. I just don't think that they're going to pay him that. But again, man, if he'd accept that role, that'd be awesome. And if he accepts a team-friendly deal, if you could get him back $13, $14 million, $15 million maybe, I wouldn't really want to pay any more than that. I think I'd be okay with that. But I think those are major questions if he would take that deal and if he would accept that role off the bench. I'm not so sure.
I think it works on paper. I'm not sure if it works in reality. I like the concept, so I'll say that. I'll go on paper. I'll go on record saying I'd love the idea. But I do have concerns. I agree with Isaac, would be Dylan's problem is shot selection more than anything else. And it will hurt the team less, obviously, if those minutes are less, if he's not playing as many minutes doing those shots. But I also think it can hurt the chemistry of the bench unit, which has been really important for this team. And there were times when, you know, and if it worked out, the ideal scenario would be that Tyus was the ultimate distributor and decided when Dylan would get those opportunities and determine some of those shots for Dylan by, you know, via catch and shoot. But what Dylan showed was that he will oftentimes take the ball up himself. And because he's still viewed as the leader and the heart and soul of the team, whether he's on the bench or not, in fact, I think more people will defer to him because they might feel bad that he's on the bench. And so then he kind of gets free will to just, you know, chug up those shots, and it can really mess up the team. And it does, like I said, it doesn't kill you as much as it does if you were doing that against the starters, but it still it can be problematic. If the issues with Dylan aren't exclusive to, you know, whether they don't go away, basically, whether he starts or whether he is on the bench. And I know he's had he's shown moments and flashes of being able to be better. So you can always say maybe that change, but I don't even know if he's as motivated to change that if he's on the bench, to be honest.
So that's my take. Do you think, like, confidence is obviously not an issue for Dylan Brooks, right?
Yes,
like
he's
what Isaac said was like he hit it nail right on the head. Dylan believes he's one of the best players on the team.
Right.
And he is. Like, I'm not trying to take that away from him by any means. He is. But all of the shortcomings, all the things that you pointed out, Candace, the shot selection, and, you know, is he going to be out there jacking up those shots, trying to make up for lost time? We don't know that. Do you think he's past the point of growth in his game? Do you feel like this version of Dylan Brooks is the best version that we're going to see, and that shot selection cannot be fixed
within the Grizzlies window that we know, like the next 2 to 3 years? I'm not sure how dramatically that can be changed, because it's been addressed as an issue for some time, and Dylan's been on this team since the beginning. And I'm not saying that he can't change, but sometimes it takes players a really long time to really find their niche and their role and sort of embrace their niche and their role. And sometimes age comes with that. Like, sometimes it's just as you get older, you realize you can't do that anymore. So you stop trying to do the same type of thing. But there's room for growth. I'm just not sure if that will fit in the timeline, you know, that they have. I think you might waste an opportunity pending the ceiling of this team on Dylan's growth. That could be a mistake, a big one.
And I think with Dylan, it's kind of a mindset with him instead of just basically growth. So I don't think it's ever going to fully go away. He made strides this year. There's no doubt about that. I mean, his assist numbers were up. You saw some growth from him. But at times, he reverts back to kind of that same player that we saw early in his career. And you go back to Game 4, and that's what we saw. And I think a lot of times, game script kind of dictates that. Like, it seems like when he's going up against guys that shoot the basketball a lot, like Steph Curry, for instance, he likes to shoot the basketball a lot. And sometimes those shots go in, just like they did in Game 6. But it's just, I think there are times where he feels like, and I don't necessarily know if it's necessary selfishness. I think at times it can be look that way. But I think in those moments, in those games where you see him do that, he feels like that's what the team needs. Especially when Ja's not out, he's like, man, that we need some offense. We need to put some shots up. And I feel like I can make these shots, so I'm going to go out there and take them. So I think it's a mindset with him. So I don't think it's something that's ever just going to go away, that he's going to mature out of it. I just think there are going to be times where he reverts back to that. And I think that's what we saw in Game 4, in other games, in outlier games. But I think you're going to get a Jekyll and Hyde effect from him. Probably that's just the guy that he is at this point. I think I don't think it's ever going to be a 100% one way or 100% the other way. I think you're going to get good games where you say, okay, that's what we want from him, and in other games, I think you're going to see stuff like you saw in Game 4. I just think that's kind of what he is at this point.
Well, we're both in the same game because
we saw
after
that. Yeah.
After all, instinct is instinct, and I think that's really what it comes down to. That instinct is instinct. So, can he lessen that instinct over time? Yes, but it's hard to talk about, you know, killing your instinct and how you naturally your automatic go-to type things in the next 2-3 kind of years, and that the Grizz are really looking to really go for it here, and maybe longer. I mean, I'm hoping longer, but I'm just saying, like, right now, given the situation we have, contracts the next 2-3 years, I just don't know if that makes sense, especially given that in that 2-3 year window, you got to pay him. So, I mean, maybe you could live with it if he was still under contract for longer. But even then, I don't know. Is it just you live and die by it? And I think that's a dangerous place to be for any team, to live and die by one player that who's not like Ja, like a 40, you know, average 40.
You may have a guy that shoots 50% from the field and averages 25 points a game, like he did in the Utah series, or you might have a guy that shoots 12% from three across the series like he did in, well, it was slightly better than that, but he didn't shoot the ball well in the Golden State series. And so it is tough. It's tough to put, you know, all of your eggs into that basket. I was talking with Sam from, he hosts the Ethos Warriors podcast, and he was talking about when the Warriors made that transition, and it was Iguodala who had been that starter. And Iguodala was a man when he was in Philly before he went out to Golden State. He still had a big contract whenever he was there. But when they made the coaching change from Mark Jackson to Steve Kerr and that coaching staff were able to convince Iguodala, hey, this team is better if you're coming off of the bench. And whether we unless it actually happens, we will never know whether Dylan Brooks is going to be willing to accept that role, if he would thrive in that role, or if it would just become a cancer. And I don't think, I agree with Isaac in the fact that I don't think Dylan would be a locker room cancer, as in like throwing a fit and, you know, picking fights with teammates or anything. Like, I don't think that happens. But if he does come out and he's overly aggressive and he shoots you out of the game, then it becomes an issue. So Isaac mentioned going out, getting a player, a playing veteran. The Grizzlies, again, they're putting themselves in the best position to win it. What does that playing veteran look like? Do you have a name in mind whenever it comes to playing veteran, Isaac? Or is it just kind of, you know, for what the team needs, they should go out and find a guy that's available?
Yeah, I think it's just for what the team needs. I mean, it's kind of hard to kind of pinpoint a guy. Like, I hate when people ask those questions, or people ask you, you bring up something, or you say that Dylan Brooks might be moved, or they might move these picks, and people are like, who are you trading up? Who are you going to trade up to get? Who are you trading for? And it's so hard to predict, because most of the time, most trades that go down, they're like something that people have never even thought of. Like, people make all these predictions on trades, and it's never usually what people think it's going to be. It's like something off the wall. You're like, man, I didn't see that coming. Just like you go back to the Justice Winslow trade. I don't think anybody kind of saw that one coming. I mean, it's just, you just never know. I mean, but there are guys out there that I think that could be had, and probably won't cost that much. I mean, there are guys all around the league that I think that you could bring in that could help this team, that could play a little bit. I don't even know if it has to be a major piece. Like, it could just be a guy, like I said, that could come in and play as needed, and guy that could be a voice in the locker room. You even go back to a guy like Jay Crowder. We talked about that in the past, like a veteran guy like that, the tough, that brings toughness to the team. So, I mean, there's a lot of guys out there. I don't have a specific name to bring up, but I just think it's something that this team has lacked. I think it could have helped them in the playoffs because, I mean, this is a super, super young team. And when you look back at the situation, I'm looking at this Western Conference Finals. You watched that game last night with Dallas and Golden State, and you just feel like this was a missed opportunity. That's a positive that I take. I know the West is going to be better next year, but a big positive that I take out of this whole thing is that I really do feel like this team could have won a title this year if they were healthy and all things were square. I know that's if and buts, but if that had happened, I really do feel like Grizzlies would have beat the Warriors, and I feel like they can beat this Mavericks team. I feel like the Grizzlies are better than that team, and that's one thing. And I know I'm getting off subject here. That's one thing that when people talk about the West being better next year and kind of questioning the Grizzlies, I think that's kind of a disservice to what they did this year, because I know they finished second in the West, second best record in the league. With the West improving, I don't necessarily know if they're going to do that again next year, but I don't think you can downplay the Grizzlies when you talk about, I know people say Kawhi's coming back, you got the Nuggets guys. I feel like the Grizzlies are one of those teams too. I feel like the Grizzlies can compete with anybody in the league. So just because the West is getting better, I don't feel like that necessarily means the Grizzlies are about to drop down five or six pegs like a lot of people talk about. It's weird because when people talk about the Grizzlies, even Grizzlies fans, it's always like there's this hesitation to feel like they don't belong, like even though they finished with the second best record in the West, are they really that good? Are they really as good as the Warriors? Or are these teams really better than them? And I don't feel like the case at all. I feel like this team, even with Kawhi back and the Nuggets having their players, I think the Grizz are right there with all of these teams. So I kind of, when people talk about the West getting better next year, that is true. I get that. But I just kind of feel like it's a disservice and kind of discrediting the Grizzlies for where they are. I mean, you got a young budding superstar in John Morant, just like these other teams have star players. So I just kind of think that's a disservice to the Grizzlies when you talk about that. But I know that was a little bit off subject. Sorry.
I'll respond to both. So one with sort of the landscape and the West getting more competitive next year, which it will be. I think my stance is that I'm not sure I necessarily expect the Grizzlies to break the franchise records for wins again. I'm not sure I expect that. I think they still have a pretty high seed. I think they're still right in there in the mix with the Clippers and all of them. My thinking is though that they'll be better repaid. I'm not going to say no matter the seeding, because the seeding I think does matter, but I could see the Grizzlies being the top four seed for one. But also I think that they can make a deeper playoff run no matter what assuming health, I think they can make they're primed to make a deeper playoff run. I think we didn't know really what to expect. I mean, we knew they were the second best team in the league, but I just think they've got enough, you know. I'm not sure the experience card works the same. I mean, yeah, they're young, but at some point, I mean, to this point, they played like 17 games, playoff games. I mean, I think they got a good sense for what it takes. It doesn't take this team long to learn, obviously, because they got good this fast. And so I think they've got enough experience to really go for it next year. So I'll say that on that piece. And just to go back to David, your question about the veteran, I don't have a veteran in mind per se, but I think the best move that the Grizzlies could make would be to, it's less about who the veteran is in my mind and more about when. So I think it's best to do that at the trade deadline. So, or close to around it, fill it out, because there's a lot of questions in terms of if you get one now, there's a question of, there's a lot of questions, right? It depends a lot to me on Zaire's development, how that looks. Is he starting? Is he coming off the bench? What you do with Dylan Brooks? All these things I think play into part, because if you get a veteran going into the year, my thinking is you might not optimize the best, you know, you might not get the best guy for the role. I mean, the team will change and it'll evolve. And so once you know what you got, you know, with a half a season of data, then make the move to get a veteran who can kind of plug and play with whatever it is can get you over the top. So I think the win is more important than the who with that.
Fair enough. And Isaac makes a great point. You know, there it's easy. You know, I was joking about Gobert early. It's easy to go out and like trade machine and fish up all these names. And
yeah,
you really don't know. There's guys that we would like that. I saw the conversation today about, Capella. And that was, yeah, it was funny to me because Candace had talked to us about that off air.
Yeah.
And then you're seeing somebody else in Grizz Media mention that. And so the truth is you never really know who's available. There's guys that are on teams in places that, like, you know, the Bucks are not moving Giannis. The Bucks are more than likely not moving Chris Middleton. So, like, there's certain guys you know are not available, but there's a lot of really good players on teams that you cannot guarantee that they're not available if the right package comes calling.
Right.
So for me, I'm the same way. There are a couple guys that I like. Harrison Barnes is a guy that we had talked about on the show quite a bit last season as a playing veteran. And, you know, what is Sacramento going to do with their pick? What's their roster going to look like? What are their needs going to be? Is Barnes a guy that they're going to move? And heck, to be honest, I don't even know what his contract is or how much longer he's under contract, if that's even something that's feasible. But, you know, there's a number of different guys out there that you can go and get that could fill that role for sure.
Well, let me interject, I guess. Let me clarify. I will say I think the Grizzlies should get somebody who's got, you know, some playoff experience. I'm not sure Harrison Barnes would be the best fit for that veteran, just because you want that veteran for playoff experience, and Harrison Barnes, I just don't know if that's the right fit.
He
right
won
there.
A title. He's got Dang. A championship.
Yeah,
like, what other playoff experience you want?
Yeah, but was he really? I don't know. I think he been on the Sacramento team losing so much. I know he technically got a ring, but I just don't know if he's the leadership kind of guy that's gonna really tell you what it takes to win a chip.
Yeah, you know, talking about his contract. He has a big deal. I knew it was big. It's even bigger than I thought. What does he have left though? Actually, I was looking at this wrong. He actually only has 1 year left on the deal. $18.3 million next year, and he'll be an unrestricted free agent in 23. So that's what his deal looks like.
Yeah, sometimes he's not going to be the leader that maybe I'm looking for out of a veteran.
Yeah, and I would just throw that name out there because he's a guy. He's a two-way player.
Yeah, I was going to say he's more of a guy that could actually play for you. Like that's a player for you.
Right, right.
Yeah. And that's kind of, you know, like to me, playing veteran, that's a guy that can play playoff rotation minutes. And I still think that Harrison Barnes at 29 years old is still in a good spot in his career regards to, like, yeah, he's been on Sacramento and maybe the funk of the Kings has rubbed off on him since he's won the championship.
If you're going to have a funk rub off, that Sacramento is probably the spot. Like, it's bad, man. It's bad what's going on out there, man.
Yeah, we don't want to see that for sure. So, man, I don't really have much else to talk about. We'll be getting into some draft stuff next week. I was going to wait. I'm going to be out of town next week. We were going to wait and do that whenever I come back, but we just don't have time. The Grizzlies were in the playoffs a little bit longer this year. I thought we had more of a window, but it's not that long. So keep an eye out for a prospect breakdown episode from Isaac and I. We're going to start reaching out to get some guests on. I've talked to Brandon Abrams from Grizzly Bear Blues. He's going to come on and talk to us about the hustle guys. It's Eve Pons, which is a free agent. Don't know if he'll be back with the team. Santi Aldama was down there and played extremely well. So Brandon's going to come on once we get back from New Orleans and make that happen. You guys got anything else you want to cover before we get out of here today?
I'm going to say, man, just when you reflect back on the season, man, just a lot of memories, a great year. This team has overachieved to the point to where I think now that they're title contenders and I think things break a different way. And I think we could be having a different conversation right now, but I think the future is bright. I think with John Morant, a true superstar here in Memphis, that's something that we've never had. I think you reflect back on the playoffs, the consistency wasn't there from him, from Jaren Jackson Jr., but I think you definitely saw moments that if he can get the consistency right, give you a glimpse of him being that guy that people expected him to be. I think he kind of proved that in some games on a big stage or in the playoffs. You just want to see more consistency there. Zaire Williams is a guy who, when he was drafted, I didn't have high expectations for. I thought it would be, if he did do anything, it would be years down the line, and couldn't have been more wrong, couldn't have been more happy to eat crow on that one, man. I think he's going to be a big-time player. You can just see the flashes, and I think he's going to take a step next year. So excited to see him in summer league. And again, man, I think this team is in a great spot. We talked about Robert Parra being willing to open up the wallet. I think that's a good thing. That's what you want to hear in a small market. And I think Zach Kleiman is kind of the guy to steer this ship. I think he's going to make the right moves. I think Taylor Jenkins had some questionable times in his playoffs. I think there were times where he struggled with rotations. I mean, he's growing along, young coach, along with this team. So he's going to continue to get better and better. I just think they have the pieces in place, man. You just got to fill in around the edges, find out who's going to be a part of this team long-term and what do you need to potentially take that next step. I mean, Jack Kleiman kind of made the joke about the rebuild not being linear, but then said that their path has been pretty much perfectly linear, which it has. I mean, you go back to the bubble, just missed out on the play-in, second year, won a play-in at Golden State last year, first round, this year, second round. So keep on that trajectory. Next year would be Western Conference Finals. You hope they can skip that step. I think they would have this year again, but Western Conference Finals and maybe a championship on Bill. So I think the future is bright, man. Just keep building on it. And I think the Grizzlies are set up perfectly. I think they're in a really great spot right now.
Yeah, I was just going to touch on some of those things that Isaac said. I think most important, one of the takeaways that something that got me excited was Jaren Jackson Jr. came into his end of the year press conference, and he had this big packet that the coaching staff had given him. He had the thickest packet. Yeah. It had a lot of pages to it. And they basically told him, if you work on these things, you know, we're giving you a lot of things to work on, because if you work on them, the sky's the limit really for him. And it is. And so this gets me excited. You know, I really think that there's a chance that next year we could see John Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson Jr. as all-stars. Would probably, I don't know if Zaire will be at that point. I feel like it may be closer to Bane, where like he's kind of like that borderline all-star maybe, because even as big of a jump as he made, he wasn't able to make that all-star team. So maybe he's borderline, but this future is just bright. But this offseason is really big for the trajectory of the team. might be able to see Jaggy even get an MVP, you know, maybe get an MVP next year. I think it's very much so in the cards. And so it's just a great time to be a Grizzlies fan. Great time to follow this team and just excited for the future.
For sure. For sure. That's I think that the time that I chose to, I won't say chosen, I kind of lucked into getting this Grizzlies coverage as I started in Jaren's rookie season. And then, you know, here comes Ja Morant. And I was fortunate enough to meet you guys via Twitter and help the show grow. So to watch it from where that team was in Jaren's rookie season to where they're at now, I never would have guessed that this team would be in this place this fast in the rebuild. But, you know, sometimes luck just goes your way, and it has for the Grizzlies. So, you know, some of it is luck, you know, getting the number two pick in the draft. You know, they had to move up to get that. So that was fortunate. And some of it is just the skill that the scouting team has and this front office has drafting players. So it's great. I love where we're at as a show. I love where the Grizzlies are as a team. And as a fan, it's going to be even more fun next year to watch this team. And I think that Ja Morant is probably going to be, you know, you mentioned MVP. He's got to be one of the early favorites because I think this team is going to be in a good position again next year. And he is going to be the leader of this team. So we'll go ahead and get out of here. We appreciate you guys tuning in. You can get the show on Twitter at Ethos Grizzlies. I'm at DavidW2111. Candace is going to let you know where you can find her. And then Isaac will get us out of here.
All right. Yep. You can find me on Twitter at CandaceH901. That's CandaceH901. Bring us out, Isaac.
Yeah. And to go back to what David was saying earlier, definitely stay tuned for our draft coverage, man. Me and David are both big time draft guys. We love this time of the year. As David said, we're going to have a lot of special guests. My guy, Nathan Grubel, content manager for No Ceilings. You can find him on Twitter at Draft Deeper. He's definitely going to join us sometime in the coming weeks, man. Loved his insight last year. Definitely going to have him back on the program. I got Chip Williams as well. We had him on last season. So a lot to look forward to.
Got to have about Mikey, right? Mikey's coming back.
Oh, man, yeah. Mikey Weisenberg, definitely got to have him back on there, man. He comes on, man, full of energy, man. Love to have him as well. So it's going to be fun, man. Don't have as much time, man. So get ready for it, man. It's going to be a whirlwind because we got to get a lot of coverage in before this draft, man, but I'm looking forward to it. But you can find me on Twitter at Isaac_Rivals. That's ISAAC_Rivals. You can get the show at Ethos Grizzlies, man. Go over there, give us a like and a follow. We definitely appreciate that. For everybody that tuned in to the podcast throughout the year, we appreciate it, but it's definitely not over. The ride's, man, just beginning, man. We got the draft up and coming up, so stay tuned to that if that's your thing. Until next time, for David, for Ken, we gone.